episode is sponsored by B&H Photo, the professional source for photos, video, audio equipment, and much more. B&H Photo is a smart way to shop with low prices, top-notch customer service, fast shipping, and no sales tax in 48 states. To learn more and check out the special deals for our listeners, visit bnhphoto.com/GFQ. That's bhphoto.com/GFQ. Slack is a messaging app which brings together all your team's communication into one place, making work simpler and more productive. Go to slack.com to learn more. Hey everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm not joined by Paul Theroux. Paul Theroux is at CES. I'm all alone. No, I'm not all alone. I'm joined by the one, the only, Mr. John Prosser from Front Page Tech.
The next best thing.
You know what? You are the next best thing compared to Paul Theroux.
You know what? I feel like I got to be on the credits for this show somewhere at this point, because every time Paul's not here, you always text me and I always show up. I always show up to work.
I would love it for you and Paul just to do the show.
Doing it every week, I can't agree to.
Every week.
But the fact that I show up to work, every time you're like, hey, Paul's gone, I'm like the booty call that is like...
You are, but you know what? You're a very dependable hand.
That's what I mean. So I feel I don't know, some Patreon money or like some ad money or just a credit.
Something.
Just my name somewhere.
You know what? I am going to do something.
Oh, God. Here we go.
I'm going to do something.
Go ahead.
You're not going to get anything.
Okay.
But I will give you an opportunity to maybe do a new show with me where we can make a couple bucks.
You're going to give me an opportunity to do a new show with you.
I don't give guarantees. I give opportunities.
So I won't get any credit for doing this one,
no.
But you might give me an opportunity to do a different one.
Yeah, listen, kid, okay, you're up to you're on to something good there with that Front Page Tech stuff.
Okay, all right, I'm in.
Yeah,
count me in.
Perfect. Everyone, this is.
Oh, by the way, I got a Soda Stream, and it changed my life.
Oh God, you know what? We're going to be talking about CES today, and we're going to be talking about 2018, and I guarantee you, we're going to see a lot of those bizarre Soda Stream devices that are connected to your phone.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
It's life-changing.
You know what? We'll talk about this. We'll talk about this and a whole lot more. John, before we go on with the show and actually start it, tell us about Front Page Tech.
You shouldn't watch it. That should be the first thing. It's a tech news show that is more fart jokes than actual news. We try to make tech news fun because, let's be honest, tech news is never fun.
You don't think so?
No. I've been doing this. You know what? Actually, in 2 days, it'll be Front Page Tech's 5th anniversary. 5 years.
Wow, that's
amazing.
The
same garbage show.
That's amazing. And now it's picking up after 5 years,
Can you believe that?
After 5 years,
it's 5 years
of
the same show.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Every day, you do the same exact show every single day, essentially.
Yeah. We've actually just been re-uploading the first episode. No one's
noticed
yet. You
know what? I guarantee you, if once a week you uploaded just something from like 3 years ago, probably most people wouldn't notice. They'd be like, oh, Samsung's releasing the S5 again? Awesome.
Listen, I don't want to call the audience stupid because they're not. They're really smart people, right? But I was sick, still sick, but when I first got sick, we didn't upload an episode. So instead, have you seen the community tab on YouTube where you can post something? You can just post text to your subscribers.
Yeah.
Well, I showed them a video from 2 years ago. It's like, hey, this is an old episode from 2 years ago, but it's an oldie. This is what the show used to be. And then a bunch of people were like, what? Why would you change the show? Unsubscribing. Like, I look totally different. I was way fatter.
But you also have the YouTube demo, which is a lot younger.
Yeah.
And a lot less patient.
And I'm beyond like explaining now. Like if someone complains in the comments, I don't go out of my way to be like, no, actually, it's all good. You know, this is an old show. It's just like, okay, if you really thought that, you should probably leave.
I just call people turds at this point and not respond.
That's all you do to me.
I actually respond to a lot of my YouTube comments.
And I'll generally, even if they like crap on me, I'll respond. And when I respond, it like shakes them up a little bit. They're like, wait a minute, this guy's agreeing with me that he's an idiot. Oh, okay. And then you lock him in. They're like, okay, cool. He's not, you know.
It's like half these people, they comment something and just assume they're in a vortex.
Yeah.
So when you reply, they're like, wait, what? You read it?
You read
like,
it? How dare you?
Welcome to how comments work, bud.
Before we continue, guys, I want to take a moment and talk about our sponsor. John, you use Slack.
Love Slack.
You do.
I've used Slack for years.
I know. So I discovered Slack on a complete coincidence around the time that they were looking to advertise with us because I have a day job. And the big problem is communicating amongst departments and getting the same information out. You know, I'm in a marketing office. We got a finance office. We got an operations office. We're all over the place. And the biggest problem is kind of communicating with each other and getting on the same page. Well, I started using Slack because it's a great messaging app that brings all your team's communication together, giving everyone a shared workspace where conversations and organization happens. There's over 1,000 apps that integrate with Slack, such as Salesforce, Zendesk, Google Drive. The list goes on and on. I can't list all 1,000 of them, but it's actually great. So what
the Google Drive thing is great.
The Google Drive thing is great.
Integration, so good. Yeah. Instead of being like, hey, I uploaded this to Drive in this folder, go find it. You're just like, boom, here's the file. And it just automatically integrates it.
So I actually do all the images for the week that we're going to be using for promotional reasons. I put it all in one conversation with the right people. And then I have another conversation for operations, information I want to share with them. And then I have a third one. That's everything. So depending on which one you want to go to, there's going to be different information, which is phenomenal. It's all at one place. And here's a great thing. If you go to slack.com now, you could go sign up and see why they're so good. Where work happens, find out why at slack.com.
Trying to point at him.
Thank you. Let's talk about CES, okay? Because I've been covering tech for 9 years now. 9 years. And
my condolences.
I know. Well, I don't. So here's a good question for you. And I present this to the audience also. You know, we got like 25,000 people that download the show every week, which is unbelievable if you think about it. But at what point do you say this is a lot of BS? Now, 8 years ago when I started covering tech, 9 years ago, 7 years ago, I was excited every single year for CES. The big announcements, the unveilings, what's coming down the line. We all went into it knowing, listen, there's a good chance that we're not going to see these things for a good year or even two. But it was still exciting. It was new technology. Things were happening. I feel now all CES is some bizarre appliance that connects to your phone, home automation, and foldable displays. That's
garbage.
That's it.
It's all garbage.
And it's not stuff. That's obviously, there's a couple of things that I saw at CES that I liked, but it's a handful of stuff that's actually
The sad thing, though. Like, the stuff that is actually interesting gets totally buried every time.
Because it's so much information, right?
It just, and it's so much, and you're right. Like, they did used to do, like, big announcements there, and, like, these major companies like Microsoft and Samsung, they would all do big announcements at CES. That was, like, the place to expect something.
Yeah.
But now, like, all those companies are just like, well, like, why would we announce anything here when if we just waited a week, we could be the news topic for the day.
Yeah.
If we do it at CES, it'll be buried.
Yeah, no, I want to present this to the audience because I don't know if I feel this way. Maybe you feel this way, too, because we cover this. We talk about technology every single day, every single week we talk about this. So I don't know if this feeling that I have is generally across the board in people that are enthusiasts in technology and that are involved in the community, or if just we have a very different way of messaging. I mean, look at Samsung, which we're going to talk about. They're not going to unveil their next phone, their S9 at CES.
Absolutely not.
Apple's not going to be unveiling something. Microsoft isn't unveiling something. Everybody has their own events now. This is just a giant shit show for people to walk around and get an excuse and an expense account from their companies to send them to Vegas because that's what everybody's doing. No, and by the way, Paul's there, and I know how much he loves being there. Paul and Brad are there right now. And listen, is any company going to unveil something where this is their announcement? This is the place? I'm looking at the top things from CES right now, okay? Top thing. This is Engadget's list. Best accessibility tech. Lists. Best accessibility tech is a knee skin pajama. Another one is a wheelchair, like a really cool looking wheelchair. The Nanofix Neo Mano, which I'm assuming is, it's like a glove. There's a special duck. The best startup is the Black Box VR Reflection Edge, which looks like it's a speaker. I can't even tell what it is. Best digital health goes to L'Oreal UV Sense. That it's able to tell you, I guess, the UV Sense also stood out as a forerunner for patients where microtechnology could go off. Okay, it's a future tech. And then the G-Shock by Casio, a freaking watch. What is going on here?
What? Well, like, none of it matters. Like,
It really doesn't matter.
It's cool for... Okay, you just read it. It's cool for an Engadget top 10 list for today. And the next week, none of it matters.
That's half of the stuff that's announced
will never be released. We will never see it.
You know, I'm in the market right now. I'll give you an example. I'm in the market right now for a 4K TV. I got one from my father a couple months ago. I paid $350 for an HDR TCL or TLC 4K TV with Roku integrated. I have to tell you, this thing is awesome. $350. Is it as good as a $1,000 TV? Maybe, probably not, but $350, it's good enough. What am I seeing? So let's say I want to get a new TV for 2018. I want to see the lineup. Is anybody talking about, you know, Samsung's lineup for 2018? No, they're talking about 8K plasma enriched LCD displays that cook dinner for you and are a smart hub and a smart assist. And it folds up. You can put it in your pocket and take it to work.
And it's all like, at this point, and companies know it. If they're going to show anything off at CES, it has to be like crazy to even get worthy of any news headlines. Like LG just showed off a really cool TV at CES that's 185 inches.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's really cool to look at CES. Where the hell am I going to put that? Why would I buy that?
Yeah.
Ever.
But there's no phone announcements.
If I want something that big, I'll just get a projector.
Yeah.
And project the images on the wall.
You know, I think they've lost kind of their direction with this show.
It's turned into a circus.
It really has. Really had. The biggest announcement was stripper robots. That was the biggest story yesterday. By the way, you're welcome, universe. You're welcome. John knows why I said that.
Yeah.
But
Andrew's texts, like, they never disappoint. He just, hey, you want to do what the tech on Thursday? So here's this. It sends me a picture of a stripper robot. No context.
No, that's
nothing.
It.
Just, I have to investigate myself.
Well, you investigate and you found, you know what I mean? Like, when that's the big story on day two of CES, there's something going on.
Okay, here's the thing. Like, and it kind of makes me sad because... I started from Page Tech. I think I was 19 when I started it.
And I was your idol.
And you were my idol, yeah. And you were 55. God knows how old you are now.
I was 55 at the time.
I remember like CES being one of my big goals. Like,
yeah, me too. I
want to go there. Like, that would be the coolest thing. And I was like, we'll get all the views and all the subscribers, and it'd be so cool to be able to report on the tech while I'm there. But I was like, we'll need a sponsor to pay to get us there and like all this stuff. Well, now I get invited to CES every year by CES. They send me a press pass.
And you don't
want to
go.
I just got to get there.
Yeah.
I can get a sponsor and or I could just pay and go there myself and I don't want to go. And that's kind of like defeating that it was like one of my huge goals. And now just like, but here's a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Has CES always been like this or... is the excitement just gone for us because we've been doing this for so long.
You know, I think here's the thing. It's way more noise now than it was a couple years ago.
So that's not just in my head.
Okay, no. I think the noise, like, there's still interesting things. Like, one thing that I really liked was that Ford Connect now, the Ford's, like, infotainment system now has Waze integration. Yeah. That's actually a very useful piece of technology in Ford vehicles. I think it's pretty useful. Do I have a Ford? No. Do I drive? Am I buying a Ford? No. But I think that's a very interesting change because, again, it's a innovative direction for the car manufacturing industry where people are going to follow. I think that's an interesting story. I don't want to, because it's a reality. I don't want to hear about Segway robots. You know what I mean? It seems like this year it's all robots, the noise is a lot more because everybody now has PR and every company is sending 15 different reporters to CES.
Yeah.
It's not to two or three people, you know, Engadget isn't sending a couple of people. They're sending everybody and they have their own station. So it becomes a fight for who's going to put out as many CES hashtags and headlines and gets picked up by Google News. So every 2 minutes, there's a freaking post.
And like because of that, this week on Front Page Tech, in the beginning of every episode, I'm literally saying, listen, we know your sub box is filled with CES content. We're not going to talk about CES all week.
Was there anything that stood out?
The power went out. We reported on that just because it's how ironic is that it rained a little bit in Las Vegas and the power went out at the Consumer Electronics Show.
Yeah. So if I were to talk about some things that I did see that I liked, a lot of affordable gaming laptops actually got displayed at CES. And it's something that I do feel, I was saving this for like my 2018 prediction show with Paul, which I'm going to talk to you about. I want to know what you think the direction we're headed, but that's one of those things that I think we're going to start seeing a shift in, and that's gaming, desktop level gaming, desktop quality gaming. Coming to the laptop. I think that's going to be a big part of 2018 and 2019 in the way that we're buying computers because desktop sales are plummeting. People aren't buying desktops. And
you don't need them, right? The average consumer, what do they need to do? They need Facebook, Twitter, email, porn. You can do all that from your phone.
But let's add a little bit more horsepower. Maybe a little bit of Lightroom. Maybe a little bit of Photoshop. Maybe you're doing some video editing. You could do that with a laptop, an i7 laptop.
I mean, okay, so like, I think the desktops will always be good for people like you and I.
When is the last time you bought a desktop?
I haven't.
Yeah.
In fact, I use an Alienware 15 that Intel sent me.
Interesting.
i7, 16 gigs of RAM. It's great. It does, and literally, it has an integrated graphics card. GeForce something, and I can play. I barely play any games, but anytime I want to play a game, I can play it in the highest settings, and it's fine. And it's all from a laptop. So like, and that's good for me though because when I travel, and I just leave.
Okay, so here's a question for you. Okay, and that you're actually touching on exactly what I was talking about. I went to an HP event a few months ago.
HP's killing it.
HP's freaking, by the way, my favorite company in the world right now. I'm loving them. And they were displaying all these laptops and, you know, with the latest gen Intel processor, and they all have quad cores, you know, 13-inch tiny, tiny laptops now are quad core i7s.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So the question is, how much horsepower do you possibly need, right? And HP also has
horsepower for the average consumer
horsepower for me and you. Let's talk about us, right? The average consumer, fine. Anything will work for them. They could go from a MacBook Pro i7 down to a MacBook and it would still work for them because the average person is doing less on their computers and they're doing more on this. You know how much photo editing I do on my freaking phone every single day?
I mean, probably.
You know what's amazing? I do my photo editing on here. Whoa. On here, and I do my and I do my social media stuff all on my Mac. I don't like doing it.
I wonder how many people just totally cringed while they were waiting for you to drop it. Just like everything was going in slow motion for a second.
You know what? It's actually this case. It's like paper thin, and it's really slippery. It's like my case.
What phone do you have?
iPhone 7.
Oh.
7 Plus.
Well, that's crazy. Like the iPhone 10 is borderline like performing as well as a MacBook Air.
Isn't that crazy?
Like what is happening?
What is happening?
I mean, it's totally, I would have totally expected this, right? But like 4 years ago, if you told me phones were going to be this powerful, this quick, I would have been like, what?
Yeah. So as the technology is evolving, you know, you need a desktop less and less, but there is still a market that buys desktops. And you know what market that is?
Yeah.
Gaming. Right? The gaming laptop market.
I'd say other than us, yeah.
Other than edit, you know, what we do, which we're a fraction of this market. But when you talk about laptop gaming, it's something that has not really become a driver for HP or Dell. Because the reality is, most people that game are buying a desktop with a big display. So how do you, but in this age, you know, as technology is changing, people want to do more than just have a desktop. To spend all that money for it just to be placed there and you can't even move it, people think of it that way, you know, that it's not mobile. We're in this mobile-centric universe. What I predict will happen, and I've seen it, HP was displaying this, and I think every manufacturer is going to do this. Gaming laptops are not going to be these big, bulky things anymore. They're going to be maybe a little bit thicker. Maybe, okay, let's go with this size, okay? This is a perfect size. Not super thin, right?
Right.
Not super thin. It's 15 inches. It's a big laptop. But the video card isn't great. I think we're going to have these external units. This is going to be the big part of these gaming laptops.
Well, they already have them.
They already have them. But we're going to start seeing this more and more. And we're going to start seeing Ultrabooks being targeted and sold as gaming Ultrabooks. And you get this separate piece. And it comes with it. So you're going to spend, you know, that'll be part of the kit. And the big selling point
they,
is
they could take business. Care of one part of the market that way. You could just, here's the laptop. Yeah. Also, for gamers, you get the same laptop, just plug in this graphics card.
Why do I have this giant box of a tower underneath my desk? Because it's an i7, because I have RAM, and because I have a video card. Well, what if I could replace my entire setup with just, you know, a $1,400 laptop that I could move around and just plug in the video card extension if I need more power? Yeah. And then I could take it to work if I need to take it to work. Now, I'm not saying this is perfect for everybody, but it is a interesting driver for this gaming division. You don't have to make this giant laptop
totally
with giant fans.
Right, too. Like, I think you're totally right. And there's going to be a lot of people that are like, there's always those people that like to upgrade, like, incrementally. Like, they just want to replace one part, and that's fine. Like, they don't want to have to buy a new laptop every time, every couple years when things have advanced.
What are we changing? Video card? You could change a video card with these external units. You could just pop in a new video card.
I'm saying anything, though. But, like, any part of the PC, people might want to upgrade incrementally. But what to those people, I would say, you are an outlier. Like,
absolutely.
You are, at this point, like, and no one, that's not a bad thing. Like, I'm with you. Like, in terms of mainstream usage, we're heading mobile first, like completely. And laptops, whatever. Personally, I think we're moving more towards. It's another one of those things where I think Apple's totally like a couple years ahead of themselves with the iPad Pro. That's where we're going.
The iPad Pro, I have one right here, actually. I use it to watch Twitch.
well, that's where we're going. We're going something like that
something
with like
that. Yeah, well, I mean, you listen, know, Surface,
some sort
iPad,
of
iPad Pro,
Frankenstein
Surface,
OS.
Samsung is now entering the game with the Chromebooks like that. You know that. Yes and no. But if the purist like me, someone that would do all these upgrades, I don't do upgrades anymore. I really don't. If I'm replacing maybe a video card every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't need a desktop for that. If I could have a laptop that could do that, nobody's changing their CPUs. Nobody's getting new processors. RAM is already maxed out. You're buying it maxed out anyway. 16 gigs, 32 gigs, right? Do you know
what
anybody?
What does the new iMac have? Like 100 and something gigs of RAM?
I don't know. I don't even know what it is.
It's insane.
I mean, for a laptop, do you need more than 32 gigs?
No.
No, not really. RAM is something that nobody cares about anymore because software handles memory storage better.
Yeah.
And it allocates what memory needs a lot better. A lot of it is software driven too. So we're in this, we're upgrading less.
What do you think about, have you seen Project Linda?
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you think of it?
I think it's cool, but then I would also go back to like what Motorola tried to do with Moto Mods and what LG tried to do. Like all this stuff is great, but like the lifespan of the phone is too short. It just does. That stuff doesn't work. Like, okay, it's a great concept. You just put the phone in the laptop. It becomes,
right, it becomes a
trackpad, laptop.
Right? Where the trackpad.
Yeah. Then you use the phone as the trackpad.
Yeah.
That's great. The life cycle of that phone is maybe a year, maybe less at this point. You got to buy that. Who know? We don't even know how much that the laptop module is going to cost. And it looks pretty high quality. Like, so you're going to buy both of those things, and either Razer has to keep the same design for the next year, or they got, or they're doing the same. They're redoing all of it the next year. Yeah, new laptop, new phone.
So it's interesting. This it's Continuum essentially, right? It's what Microsoft wanted to do, and it's what Motorola did, and it's what Palm kind of did early on. So essentially, you're buying this display. It's a 1440p display with the keyboard, and you plug your phone in the front. For people who don't know, you
and
just
connect
where
not
the trackpad
is. It's not a bad design. It's not bad quality. Like it's typical like Razer laptop quality. Same keyboard, same style of keys, same display. It's all good.
Yeah.
So who knows how much that's going to cost?
I don't know.
I think it's cool, but like. Is that worth it? And are enough people going to buy it for that to be continued through Razer?
You know, I think that it's going to be a combination of things. You know, I do see that in the future, this may be the future of PCs where you buy this every 2 years or every year, and you just connect it to this modular laptop, and boom, you're set. You know, I do think that there is a market for that. It just has to make sense, and it's a conditioning thing. We still like to separate our devices. You know, look at how I use my computer, my desktop. I have different devices for different things. I think.
Well,
once...
I can't think of a universe where I would be cool with that, or I would be doing this with you. Like, imagine if I'm doing this with you, and the thing running the machine that I'm on right now is my phone. So now I can't really like access my phone. That's like foreign, and I refuse to accept it.
Yeah, it's actually. I'm looking at this. It's a beautiful device.
It is pretty.
Yeah, and they've shown that you could do everything on it. Very interesting. I'm curious to see if other people pick up on this. But I do think that we are going to have a very strong year for laptops. I do think so I haven't asked you this. What do you think of ARM entering in the PC market? How do you think this is going to be for Qualcomm and these companies? And even the manufacturers like HP that, you know, they're going to put out these ARM-based Windows laptop.
I think it's now or never. If there was ever a time, it's right now. Specifically with all the drama surrounding Intel right now. So yeah. I think it's perfect timing, and I mean monopolies aren't good for consumers. Period. The more competition we have, the better things get for us. So like. That's something we should always hope for.
Yeah.
There's just more players in the game.
Well, I mean, if you look at the trend right now, right, we're seeing Alexa is being built into PCs now, which is bizarre considering Cortana exists on Windows.
Everything's so redundant. Yeah. It's like my Samsung Galaxy S8 has Google Assistant, which is perfectly fine, but also I got a button for this chick named Bixby that I also got to deal with. They do the same thing. One is a press away, one is a button away, and it's all redundant. It's awful. I hate it.
So HP also launched the Qualcomm-based Envy X2-in-1, which is interesting. You know, everybody's doing the same thing right now. I think Dell won best designed laptop, right?
I don't know.
The XPS 13 notebook. The ceramic one that's like all white. Super
Ooh,
thin.
Look that up.
It's really nice. It's very, very nice. It looks almost like a copy of the HP Spectre 13, but it's a 13-inch XPS notebook with a...
what's it called?
XPS 13 Dell. Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it's very nice. So, I mean, listen, this is the trend. This is where they're headed with CES. I don't necessarily know if this year was this big bang.
No, it's just... It's quickly becoming a circus, and there's like... And I see this every year. Like, a lot of my audience, like, they get real excited for CES, and then when it happens, they're like, oh, well, I'm disappointed. I don't think that you need to be disappointed. It's just that you had your expectations too high. Like, CES is not what it used to be. There's more startups, more competition right now, and it's just like CES is just this circus of look what we can do with technology. It's not even like it's not practical. It's not like, hey, look, this is going to be for consumers next year. This is just look how crazy we can get with tech these days. Yeah. It's just a circus.
It literally is a circus. I want to talk about 2018. And
let's do it.
What you see as trends that are going to happen this year. But before we do, I want to remind everybody, if you want to help the show out, listen, I need to get some new cameras in here. Both my cameras are gone. If you want to help the show out, you could fund us by going to patreon.com/whatthetech. You could fund us as little as $1 per episode. And it really helps us out. It helps us do these upgrades. You know, you guys also use our Amazon link. You go to Amazon, gfq.co/Amazon. You can bookmark that. And whenever you make a purchase, I get a small little credit from it. These little things actually are gigantic for us. And it really helps us out with moving forward and doing upgrades and sending cameras and doing this and doing that. So please, for people who have been doing it over the years, thank you. If you're thinking about doing it, go right ahead. Go to patreon.com/whatthetech and fund us there. John Prosser from Front Page Tech.
Andrew Zarian from Andrew Zarian.
John_Prosser on Twitter. Let's talk about 2018 and what trends you see happening. You know, you cover technology every single day. You do videos almost every day. And, you know, you're really on top of this. So I'm curious to see what you think is changing and what we will see this year. Obviously, home automation, smart everything is a big part. But I want to know what you think we're going to see this year.
I think it's not necessarily like what we're going to see this year. It's just a continuation of the trend of mobile first. And we've sort of talked about that here, where laptops are going to be a huge focus and get sort of crazy. I think phones are on the same path. And I feel like we haven't necessarily peaked in terms of smartphones, but I almost feel like this year is going to be somewhat of a plateau because I feel like we're coming up to another transitional period with phones. I mean, the biggest trend that we saw in 2017 is like those edge-to-edge displays. Samsung did it with the S8, and it worked. It worked enough for everyone else to want to do the same thing. And that's pretty much what I see happening. I think most of the hot trends are going to die down. We're going to plateau this year, and it's just going to. I really hope that companies put more of a focus on just making better quality products. I think 2017 with a lot of companies lacked quality control.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see quality control make a vibrant return.
Why do you think that happened? Do you think because everybody became responsive?
It's because people are freaking out. Things are moving too quickly. And like, you can't be slow anymore. Like, you can't take your time and craft something. Like, you got to get it out there. That's like what we saw with the iPhone 10. It was launched a month or two earlier than it was supposed to just because they had to get it out.
Mm.
And you saw what happened there. It's just like quality control doesn't exist the way it should. Like, especially, and we're talking like the biggest companies in the world. Apple's quality control down the tubes, especially with software in particular. iOS 11 is a mess. Mac OS High Sierra, a mess. In fact,
a mess, yeah.
There's another flaw that came out like yesterday. Another like password flaw that they just fixed one a couple months ago.
Yeah, I saw the in the App Store.
Yeah, and Google with the Pixel 2 XL. That was a disaster. That's a mess. I mean, it's a good phone, but like there were display issues. There were software issues. Some people got a Pixel 2 XL without an OS on it. That should never happen,
That's
ever.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so like I really hope that quality control is something that is paid attention to this year. That's all I want. That's all I want for Christmas.
So, did you see the that Nanoleaf light panel? That was like a big winner. It essentially makes a light panel on your wall.
What?
Smart lights, yeah. Nanoleaf smart lights. That was like the big story.
Nanoleaf smart light.
Yeah. Look at it.
Oh, these things. Okay. Yeah.
You could have an entire wall like that.
Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all the rage with YouTubers nowadays. That's for sure.
Is that really what it is?
I mean, every YouTuber's got these in the background. Every tech YouTuber has these in the background of their videos.
I kind
of
want to do it.
PewDiePie has them.
I want to do it.
If PewDiePie has them, you know it's a thing.
I want to do it. It's fascinating. But I mean,
it's
those
just like
stories.
People are just putting them on the wall and they just exist.
Light bulbs are the big hit. Yeah.
I think you could I looked them up on Google Images. Mm-hmm. And these images are way better use of them than people actually use them for. Like these are actually like placed strategically on the wall and it makes sense aesthetically and design wise.
Yeah.
People that buy them aren't using them this way. They're just the lights on my wall.
But how much are these? How many do you have to buy?
All of them.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how many do you buy to make it look like this?
Starter kit starts at $229.
$229.
And you get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of
them. Yeah, 9 squares of lighting.
No thanks.
Yeah, I mean, listen, is that a tech story? The cover? But okay, so if we're talking about trends this year,
they're cool, but like not newsworthy, I don't think.
Yeah, I had a couple things wrong. One thing that I thought we would see a trend of last year were these modular cameras that connect to your phone.
Mm-mm.
I thought we would see more of those, and that's
not sustainable.
Totally failed. Did not work.
Yeah, it's not sustainable.
Why do you think it's not sustainable?
Same thing I said with the Razer laptop. It's just like the lifespan is too short. People are already spending nearly $1,000 on devices these days. We're talking about average consumers, right? They don't care about modules. They don't want modules. They just want to buy a thing. That's it. It's not like I'm gonna buy this phone. I'm gonna buy all these pieces for it, and then next year,
it's
all irrelevant.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like it's cool, and I'm sure a couple people bought the stuff, like would buy the modules and are super into it.
Yeah,
but like it's stuck in a really weird middle ground. Like I feel like the people that would be interested in buying the phone and buying the modules and stuff are not enthusiasts, and are the people that are just going to buy a DSLR.
Interesting.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know.
I feel like the line is too blurry. And it's not sustainable for the company. So, like, it's cool, but, like, you don't make enough money off of it to continue doing it every year. You just don't.
Yeah, I think that it's interesting because I don't know what the direction with that would be. Is this modular aspect of cell phones, is it a thing that could be possible? I don't know if it's that it's not or it's what is being put out there is not necessarily
the only
intriguing.
The only time it would be sustainable and viable is if, I mean, do you remember Project Ara?
Yeah.
Like the totally modular.
That thing was totally modular. Yeah.
That would be sustainable if you just bought this thing and like throughout the years you could just replace parts on it and upgrade parts as you go. That's sustainable to an extent. But parts that here's the phone and here's the modules for this model of phone. But next year, we're going to change the model of phone, so you'll have all new modules, and it's just a constant upgrade cycle that people aren't going to be willing to do.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that would be a big thing. I mean, obviously, we're going to see more home automation stuff, more smarter everything. We're going to see more of this, you know, personal assistant type feature. Now, do you use any of that? Do you use Alexa or Cortana or Siri?
So I tried to avoid it for a while. I work with Amazon, and they have since filled my entire life up with Echoes.
Yeah, yeah.
I just have them everywhere.
Yeah.
So that kind of forced me to use them, and now I'm at a point where since I've been forced to use them, I've kind of gotten used to it. I don't need them, but, like, I use them for mostly everything, like setting timers, I have Philips Hue bulbs everywhere. I have them in here. I have them in my living room. I have them in the hallway. I have them everywhere. And that's just like, turn on the living room or the whatever. That's cool. I also have them for alarms. Like if I set a timer, when the timer goes off, my lights start flashing. I don't need it.
You don't need it.
But I have it.
But you have
it. Let's put it this way. I don't use any voice assistant, any personal assistant for anything practical in my life. I just use it because it's there and I could just say it instead of pressing the button.
Yeah, I don't know. What big trend do you think we're going to see this year? Give me your list.
You're definitely right with more home automation, more voice assistant stuff. And that it's going to get really competitive. I think that's where it's going to get really competitive with like Google and Amazon. Do you think Microsoft has a leg to stand on with Cortana at this point?
I don't think so. I mean,
they've agreed to allow Alexa into Microsoft stuff. So like, I feel like not even they have a lot of faith in Cortana.
Well, here's the thing, right? Like I'm on this iPhone and I think Siri sucks compared to Google, their assistant. I think Google is way better. And Alexa is actually better.
I feel like Apple's sitting on something though.
What are they sitting on?
I feel like Apple's like, instead of like, they could just like give an update to Siri and make it a lot better.
I'm sure they're
going to
make it.
I feel like they're sitting on some major update. And this year or next year, they're going to be like, here's the new Siri. And it's just going to blow the rest out of the water. That's what Apple does. They suck for a couple years because they're sitting on something that they're not ready to release. But who knows? That's the Apple I remember, which they're not anymore. So I don't know.
No, it's not the same Apple at all. Listen, I'm a Mac user, right? I can't switch.
Yeah.
I don't know why. You know what I do need to happened? Get this here? I don't even know. I have no idea. My keyboard, this wireless keyboard is terrible, and it loses connection at times. What I see happening with this is, you know, somebody will get it, right? And most likely it'll be Google. But I'm actually surprised because I really like Google's assistant on Android, but I hate Google Home.
Why do you hate Google Home?
I think it's terrible. I don't think it's good. I think it's limited. Why? Compared to Alexa, I think it's limited. And I just don't feel like I need one of these, you know, assistant devices.
You don't need them. I definitely don't need them.
You know what I use it for? To play holiday music when my family was over.
Yeah.
And essentially all it does is connect to my Spotify list.
Yeah, like I said, it's not insanely practical. It's just a novelty.
Maybe I'm getting old. Maybe that's what it is.
No, you're not. You're not just getting old.
You know, for the first time, I have to tell you, I was looking at a TV and I couldn't tell if it was 4K or 1080. And that was the moment I said, oh, my God, at 34 years old, this is the moment.
It's happening.
This is how it happens. And then you start becoming less self-aware that you're not noticing these things. And before you know it, you're saying, I don't need to buy a laptop. I've had mine for the last 10 years and it works fine.
Right. Well, like the best technology is an enabler, right? It's practical and it fills a void.
Yeah.
It fixes a problem you have. None of these voice assistants have fixed any problem I've ever had. It's just another way to do things I can already do.
Yeah.
It's the same thing I said about smartwatches and where they are today. I could do the same thing. You're not doing anything different. You're not adding anything to my life with this watch. I had a Samsung Gear S3 that I loved for a total of 3 weeks before I was like, oh, I'm just getting notifications on my wrist. That's it. That's all. And that's all I have this for.
Sure.
Otherwise, it's just heavy and makes my wrist sweat and I don't want it.
Okay, so here's a question for you. What do you think of the VR headsets? Because there's a lot of VR this year also. But like we're getting into real VR. We're not, like the transition, it really leaped from 2016 to 2018 with the VR. Because originally, you know, a couple of years ago, I did a whole thing on the air about these stupid VR headsets that look terrible, and I had the Samsung one on my S6 and I used it and it was unbearable and I couldn't imagine why anybody would want to do this.
What was
experience.
Limiting to you at that point, the resolution?
It looked crappy and it was overheating my phone and it was uncomfortable and it made me dizzy, you know, it was nothing was positive. It's cool.
The real future is AR.
Yeah, it's going to be a combination of AR and VR. Yeah,
I mean, VR is cool, but like, I feel like...
Do you know what? This is going to be the future. I'm telling you right now. We're going to live in this really, really bizarre future where nobody has any kind of good furniture. Okay? Nobody has anything good. All we do in 100 years from now...
We have contact lenses.
We have contact lenses that make us see whatever we want to see. John Prosser, you could be George Clooney. I could see you however...
Silver Fox.
Yeah, you could be whoever you want to be. The people, you could be, live in whatever house you want to live in. And we'll become total minimalists, except for when we'll just live in boxes.
Yeah. We'll just live in boxes, sit on boxes, slabs. Be a box.
Concrete slabs. And all
well, that's
we
where
see...
I think that's where I think Google Glass was like way ahead of its time.
Yeah, but the problem with Google Glass was that functionality-wise, it sucked
and it was clunky.
Yeah, and clunky.
But like in the future, like imagine me wearing just these. You can't. There's no special camera. There's no lens. They're not bulky. It's nothing scary about them. It's just like I walk up, I see you in public, and boom, your Facebook profile pops up inside my lens and tells me about you.
Well, Google's doing
that's cool.
Daydream, right? Daydream VR.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And now everybody's putting out headsets for Daydream. Because apparently that's the experience. Yeah, I mean, literally everybody has a Daydream VR headset.
Well, the best VR experience that like you could have up to this point was the Vive.
Vive? V-I-V-E?
HTC Vive, yeah.
Oh, the HTC Vive.
And that's like, you know, that required cameras in the corner of a room. Like, you had to dedicate a full room to your house. It had to be so big, cameras everywhere.
And it was $1,200.
And yeah, but that's what we're talking about here. Like that's not pro consumer there. Here's a really cool VR experience, and this is what you have to pay and do to have it. Whereas you could get like almost there, not as good, but like almost there with PlayStation VR.
Well, so then like, now you have the Vive Pro. That's their new one, and it has a much higher resolution and built-in headphones. They just announced that.
Man.
So it's doing its dual OLED display of 2880 by 1600. So it comes out to 1400 by 1600 per eye and 615 PPI. 78% increase.
The first time, speaking of Intel from earlier, I went to the Intel Global Summit conference because I had to report about something there, and it was like, so Intel had invested a bunch of money into like five different companies, and this conference was about those five different companies and why they got the money.
Yeah.
And one was a kid. He was 13 years old who made a printer out of Lego.
Okay.
That would print Braille.
That's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And then there was another company called the Hieroglyph that was a VR headset. And I remember being really excited to try it. And there was a Russian guy who was very businessy, and then you had the really cool hip guy that was like younger and like startup-y. And they put this headset on me, the prototype that I swear to God was 10 pounds on my face, and all it did was show me a video. It just showed me a YouTube video. I could watch any YouTube video, and it looked like it was in a movie theater.
Yeah.
But it was so bad. Like, it looked worse, and I got this big thing on my face. It was just bad, and that was my first experience with VR.
You know,
and I'm glad we're past that.
Well, you know what? I don't know how past it we are, because the future of this is, you know, when it's going to become a real business, and the whole thing is, can you get this in majority of homes? Right? Most people have TVs. That is a successful tech device, right? Most people have a television. Most people have a computer. Most people have a phone. These are trendsetters. How do you make VR or AR a successful device that most people have, like an iPhone, or like a phone or a laptop? The way that you do it is that you tie it into other things. The future of VR is not going to be me playing a game with this headset on. It's going to be, you know what? I'm a big Billy Joel fan, but I can't go to the concert.
Yeah.
But I can pay $40 and have seating based on where I would be at that concert.
But that's I just said. That fills a void. That solves a problem.
That's going to be when all these concerts and all these events and the movie theaters and all these things do, you know, must-see live events. That's when I think VR is going to take off. I'm telling you right now, I guarantee you over the next 2 years, we're going to see the Madison Square Garden or another venue have a big event and say, you know what, for every seat that we have, we're going to have a VR experience. So you could pick the seat and buy it, and they could sell these things anywhere from $10 all the way to $250. Yeah.
Then you could double sell each seat.
You double sell each seat, and now you could watch it. But it has to look good and sound good. You know, that's going to be the end result. So once we get to the point that these events look like you're there, I think that's when we'll get there. But there, it is interesting. It's intriguing. I don't think the technology's there yet, but apparently this year, once again, it's VR and AR.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll get to that point by the end of the year or no?
No.
It's going to be another 5 years or so.
Yeah, well, I think we're closer, but like a lot of it's just experimenting. And I think what is stopping these companies from getting to the point and fixing problems is jumping too far ahead of themselves, because they want to show how cool it can be. Like, they have to outdo the company A, company B.
Yeah.
Instead of just doing the practical thing, they have to outdo the other companies. And I think the only the thing that will win and set a company apart is if they focus on making VR practical, because it's right now it just exists. I'm not saying there's no future in VR, because there is, but like, we're just not there yet. Like, there's been a, I don't know what it is, but it's just some university testing stuff with paraplegics. Like, okay, or like people that are totally paralyzed, they have installed a chip in their brain, right? Mm-hmm. And they wear this headset. And they're just able to think about moving a limb, and they see their hand move, or they see their legs move. Like, well, that's going to be the big, really cool,
that's going to be like that. Those are big, you know, changes to the way, you know, society functions and how we perceive certain things, you know, and all that stuff comes from bullshit from a small little company in Rhode Island that got, you know, some sort of funding to research and then someone buys it up. You know, that's really how that happens. So maybe they are displaying that technology.
Yeah, it's
at
like,
CES, but
it's like how, and I remember last year I reported that Apple bought, it was an Israeli face sensor company. Like, they bought a really like well-established face sensor company that was doing really good work, and they bought it. And
there you go.
Now we use it for Animojis.
Yeah,
it's just like,
now we're using it for
Animojis. What are we doing?
Isn't that amazing? By the way, dumbest thing ever. I feel stupid with that whole Animoji thing.
You just feel stupid that like you're part of a world that has
You know, I my father one time said to me, he goes, imagine a freaking time traveler from 300 years ago, 200 years ago, landing,
where your face can be a chicken,
coming here for just like a day or two, maybe a week, comes to 2018, and he has to go back and say, what did you see? And his answer is going to be, you know, these freaking people have the knowledge of the world in their hands. And you know what they do all day? They look at cat photos. They don't even type anymore. They send symbols to each other of poop. And it talks. And they could talk like poop. Try explaining that.
And I definitely could not go back in time and explain
And this is why the aliens leave us alone.
This is exactly why.
This is why. They drive by every year. And like, what are they up to? Oh, poop emojis. Okay, cool.
We'll try again next year.
All right, maybe next year they'll be ready.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing to me. But to kind of go back to this, like, you know, trends in 2018 and things that we're going to see. Let's talk about Samsung. And the S9.
Let's do it.
I'm holding out. I will probably get it. Everybody's told me to leave Samsung. Okay, this is like a big thing that I'm getting now, because I'm very critical of Android for Android rot, essentially. Every Android device that I have owned, after 8 months or so, it becomes very slow. And a lot of these issues start coming up for me. Now, I don't have excessive apps. I don't beat the crap out of my phone. I actually take care of, one of the things that I do is take care of my phone pretty well. But my S7 is unusable now, John. I can't.
Yeah, I believe it.
I can't use it. It's so slow. This is after formats and Delvic cache wipes and this wipe. It's unusable. Why? First of all, I want to ask you why. Why is that a thing? And why does that happen to me? And why do some people tell me that this is not a real problem?
Those people are wrong, but
you're
a
Samsung user, by the way. You're not an iPhone user.
No.
Okay.
No. I had been.
You had been.
An iPhone user for ever, like just years. And I didn't buy my phone. Verizon sent it to me. So disclaimer there. But when I say good things about Samsung and I say they're heading in the right direction, people assume I've been paid by Samsung. I've never accepted a penny from Samsung. They've never offered, but if they did, I would definitely accept. So don't get me wrong. But what they've done with TouchWiz, at least in the S8, they've laid off of being like Samsung-y about it. TouchWiz with the S6, the S7, the S7 Edge. The reason why this stuff slows down is because that's not their specialty. They're a hardware company that could just easily put, you know, a polished open source Android software experience on this phone and be done with it. But no, they have to, at the last minute, create their own UI, their own features, and slap it on the phone, and it's not polished.
Yeah.
That's why it slows down, because it's clunky. It's bad code. But, like, they've started to slowly back off. The S8, I mean, it still works as well as the day I got it. I have no complaints about it. I take care of my phones too. No complaints about it. I actually just put out a video about the Samsung Galaxy S9 called Five Things We Know About the Galaxy S9. Like, not just rumors, stuff that we know that has like been proven from leakers and all this stuff.
So obviously
I was right about one thing already, by the way.
The rear facing fingerprint sensor?
No. Well, yeah, finally they're moving the fingerprint sensor to not the worst place imaginable.
Right next to the camera.
Yeah. What? That? Okay.
So terrible.
A lot of people were saying that they were going to release or announce the S9 at CES. It's going to be this big surprise. And I said in that video, literally this like past Saturday, I said that makes no sense for them to do. And if you look at Samsung's track record, they have been releasing phones at Mobile World Congress. The reason they released a little bit off schedule and put the S8 out a little bit earlier was because they had to recover from the Note 7 debacle.
Yeah.
They've had enough time to recover from this stuff, and I said it makes more sense for them to get back on schedule, wait a second, and do it at Mobile World Congress, not at CES. But everyone was like, oh, they're going to release it at CES because they want to be part of the Korean Olympics or something. They want to advertise there. Like, no, Samsung has enough marketing, and they're going to reach enough people. They don't need to advertise at Olympics
I think they have a ton of stuff to promote other than their new phone.
So, it's been confirmed. I was right about about what I thought they would be thinking with their release schedule. Next month, February, MO World Congress, they're going to be announcing the S9.
Well,
because
released the phone in March. The S7 came out in March. It was the end of March. Yeah. Or early April, one or the other. S6, same thing, too. Came out around that time, too. They have a cycle, and that's what they stick to. What are you looking forward with that phone?
I got slack for this. I said in that video the S8 was really good. Like, they took a chance and it worked. With the edge-to-edge display, that worked. And it set a trend. Every manufacturer is doing that with their phones nowadays. I feel like this is the year Samsung needs to calm down. They have a winner. It worked last year when they took a risk. Don't take a risk this year. Just build on what you have. Move that fingerprint scanner to the center of the phone, under the camera where it should be. Don't be awful about it. Don't put it in the worst spot imaginable. Just take the winner that you had last year and focus on making it better. More specifically, kind of what you just mentioned, software. Like, they have to hone in on the software. They have to. This year has to be... If you're expecting some radical redesign or something crazy with the S9, do not.
Yeah.
Do not set your expectations that high. It's going to be an incremental change in design, and it just needs to be better. It just needs to be a slightly better phone. They need to focus on software, because right now that is like That's the only negative about Samsung phones is I'd rather have stock Android on it. You remember when they had Google Play Edition Samsung phones where you could get stock Android on it?
Yeah.
That I wish they would do that.
They're not going to. Because the whole purpose of Android was, you know, personalized experience based on the carrier, based on the, well, the carrier wanted to get involved based on the OEM and not necessarily Google. I get why people like the Google experience. I totally get it. But I also understand why somebody would prefer something a little different. You know, Samsung is one of the better ones with their experience. But I don't think their UI is all that great. You know, it gets clunky.
I will tell you, it got a lot better. It got a lot better with the S8. Like, TouchWiz has always been, it's not just like clunky, but it's been ugly. For the first time, like with the S8, it doesn't look gross. And this is like the first Android phone I've had where I haven't changed the launcher. So I'm totally okay with like the direction they're heading. And I feel like they need to lay off of trying to be Samsung-y about it. And I think they're starting to get that. I think they're starting to get the value of like stock-ish Android. They're never going to give us pure Android. It's just not going to happen. But I feel like they need to lay off and really focus on the software experience.
Listen, they don't even have to go stockish. They could have their own twist. As long as it's a good twist and as long as it's good.
As long as it works and doesn't slow down,
that's fine. You know, my big selling point when it comes to a phone is number one, design. Number two, camera. Number three, battery life. That's how it goes.
So, question for you: how do you feel about this?
Yeah,
with the S9, slightly confirmed that I mentioned in our video about it. The S9, right, the base model will have one camera, but the S9 Plus will have a dual lens system, Apple differentiates stuff. Like, you know, the 7 had one and the 7 Plus has two.
Mm-hmm.
So like at this point, I wish that they wouldn't Apple it up. I wish they would just give us like something. You get the same experience. It's just, this is a bigger phone than this one. Are you cool with them doing a dual sensor for the bigger model?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Is that
with
an
that.
Upsell for you?
Yeah, no, that I would buy the big one anyway. Obviously, for a lot of people, like Jess, for example, ended up getting the iPhone 7 Plus. She did not want to go to a bigger phone at all. She was She was fine with the regular iPhone 7. That's what she wanted. But I showed it to her. I'm like, listen, it's a little small, and I convinced her to get the Plus, and now she has the Plus, and she can't go back. It's unusable. Yeah, it's too small now. Once you go to the larger displays, it's hard to go backwards. Like from this, I mean, you could go with a small device, but the display has to be the right size. It's enough of an upsell for me. I don't know why I keep saying this. It's enough of an upsell for me to go to the bigger one just by the display. Having the bigger, you know, having a better camera is a point for other people.
I'm not convinced that two sensors are better at this point. I mean, unless you want to use two sensors for better low light performance or something.
Yeah.
But like, we just saw Google have one of the best cameras of the year in the Pixel 2 devices, and it has one sensor. And it can do all the portrait mode stuff, great in low light. It's an amazing camera. So now, at this point, I'm not convinced that two sensors are better. So to me, it's not an upsell. If I'm going to get the bigger device, it's because I literally want the bigger device. I'm not going to buy that because I see, oh, there's two sensors in this, so I'll pay extra, I'll get the bigger phone, and I'll have two camera lenses.
Well, it's not... here's the thing. So, who does it? Who else does a dual sensor now? LG does it. HTC does it.
Everybody does it.
Huawei does it.
Yeah.
Right? What's
LG.
It? LG, yeah. But I don't know. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a better camera if they're two shitty sensors. Then they're going to be crappy sensors, you know? Yeah.
It was just assumed that that's what's needed to create the depth map to give us that portrait mode. Some manufacturers say it's better for low light. They take a black and white photo with one sensor, they take a color photo with another, they use that to create better low light detail. That's fine. Low light stuff I believe in. But all these companies are like, oh, dual sensors for portrait mode. But then Google comes out of left field and says, nah, we could just do it in software.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a combination of things, you know, better sensors, bigger sensors. But you also have to remember, we're limited as far as how good the quality of these cameras, lenses could go. These sensors are.
This year, I feel like this year is going to be pretty. I mean, it shouldn't be surprising because we're on the upslope, but like cameras this year they're going to be crazy.
Well, here's the thing. Well, okay, iPhone 9. Give me your prediction on the iPhone 9 and the next iPhone. Is it going to be called the 10 or the 11? Whatever the next iPhone.
Well, you can't call it the 10, right? I mean, we just got the iPhone 10. Do you go backwards and call it the iPhone 9?
No. Well, you're going to have an iPhone 9.
But
what do you call it?
Okay,
again,
so what the upgrade from the iPhone 8 would be the iPhone 9, yes?
Yeah, that would be that upgrade. So what do you do with the next one? The 10-2?
11?
The 10S. The
more premium model? I don't know. The iPhone XX.
XS.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. Who knows?
You know, but I don't know. We'll see the trends. You know what?
What's scary is like, now I don't even know where Apple's head's at. I don't know what they're doing.
Before you could tell, you know, it was nice.
Yeah.
It was nice and predictive. Now you can't tell with anything. We're going to wrap it up for the show. But John is going to stick with me for 10, 15 minutes, right?
Yep.
Okay, cool. We're going to do our bonus show. So if you're watching live, stay tuned. You can watch us live on Twitch. We're live streaming everywhere on our website at gfqlive.tv. We're on Facebook. We're everywhere you could possibly imagine. Also, subscribe to the podcast. We're everywhere podcasts are available. John, where can people find you? On YouTube?
On YouTube, Front Page Tech. You can Google that at John_Prosser on Twitter, at Front Page Tech on Twitter. And that's pretty much it.
Excellent. We're out of time here, but stay tuned. We're going to be doing What the Talk. Go to patreon.com/whatthetech. You could go and watch there. If you're watching live, stay tuned.